Enforcer. I believe they're called Enforcers, Gordon.
I sell women's shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby!
I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
Oh, nice!
Welcome to another edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your very angry, very agitated, short-tempered, reaching for the bleach hosts. He's the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. Welcome, Joe.
We're all in on this episode.
Oh, yeah. We're all in, baby.
It's going to be a good one, man.
2K18, 2K17, I should say, as the Stallion coined it roughly 2 weeks ago. Reach for the bleach tour. Summer 2017, coming to a town near you. There's Bleach Bash. Wait, Bleach Blast. The Great American Bleach. What else we got?
I found that sweet gif of some cartoon character drinking out of a bleach bottle.
So I think that was some show on Adult Swim. It popped me, man. It marked me for the day. Today sucks. But you know what doesn't suck is this coming show. Today on the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, we've got Great Balls of Fire. God, that's just a stupid name. We've got a Great Ball.
Is it, what about the song, though? Like, do you like the song at least?
Goodness gracious, holy potatoes, that song sucks. We have Great Balls of Fire reaction.
Holy potatoes.
Yeah, we've got a WWE Monday Night Raw recap. We've got a 5 count that I've been teasing since last week.
7 days. 6 days. Six and a half days, I think, since we last were on the airwaves.
Still holding.
You mentioned Great Balls of Fire. And you mentioned earlier in the year, you mentioned 2K17 and then 2K18. So I wanted to just drop some quick information for anybody out there. I don't know if anybody follows Wrestle Rumble on Twitter. They have a contest every month or every WWE pay-per-view.
I have a feeling it's going to piss me off, but go ahead.
Come on, man. Would I do that to you? I would not do that to you.
All the time. Here we go. Let's do this.
Wow, that's hurtful.
You would piss me off. Your life pisses me off right now.
Your are hurtful.
They sting like razors in my nuts.
They have a contest every pay-per-view asking questions not only about trying to predict match winners, but also some tiebreakers or, I guess, prop bets, if you will, about match times. And
did you win?
No, I did not win, but our friend BK has won for the second time, I think, this year. And he not only won himself some cash, but also a copy of WWE 2K18, I believe, as a result of his victory on Wrestle Rumble's Pick'em. So for anybody who is interested...
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's a shoot.
Wow. This guy is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievably talented, apparently.
Gifted, talented, lucky, handsome, successful, attractive. Future's bright if your name's Brian Kelly.
Yeah. It is. Let's put this way. A great past, present, and future. How about that?
Beautiful family.
So great job.
Good job, BK.
By our friend Brian. Yeah. And
if your name is Mike, your future sucks. If your name is Joe, it's up to Joe.
There's not much.
What did you, you know what? We're live. What did you tell me that you told a coworker earlier today?
Oh, just today?
Yeah. Or
I can't repeat some of the things.
You can't repeat it? I think the people want to hear.
I don't think people want to hear about how poor my life is going at my employer. But maybe we have some better things that we can talk about.
Well, I believe we would like to welcome to the show the one and only Thunder Rosa. Are you with us?
Yes, I am here. What's up?
Not much. How are you? Listen, if anybody's following you on the Twitter, on the Instagram, they know you were feeling a little bit under the weather. How are we feeling today?
Well, I'm doing better. Like, I slipped in, and I have to go to the doctor again, but it wasn't for me. It was for my husband. So I've been at the doctor's office for 2 days. Fun time.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us here at the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. And speaking of Twitter and Facebook, I want to give yours a plug at ThunderRosa22 on the Twitter, on the Facebook. And now, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I know it was hard to like connect. You know, I have Kevin texting me, and then I have other people. I'm like, oh my god! But it happened. I'm happy to be here.
Listen, those are the, you know, those are the perks of being busy. You know, obviously you have a lot going on, and if people do follow you on the social media, they see every weekend, you know, you're out there, you're hustling, you're working different shows, you're promoting these shows. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been in the business, what, about 3 years, 4 years?
No, I started training in January 2014, and I debuted in October 2014, so technically this is my third year, so... Yep.
Now, you have been able to make quite a name for yourself, I would say, in 3 years. And not for nothing, social media means everything. 16,000 followers is very impressive. What's the secret to the success?
Honestly, just like staying connected to your fans and really making, like, networking and working on different aspects of, you know, what wrestling brings, which is fitness. You know, motivating other women, motivating just people in general. I think that right now is what is helping me, like, grow my my social media as much as we have. You know, Instagram is growing, like, really quickly thanks to that. And I have been able to get really good opportunities through Instagram because of, like, how connected and how I respond to my fans personally. And I think that's the most important part of staying active and staying current is to, like, respect the fans and give them the time that they deserve, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who allow you to be doing this full time, you know? So that's what we try to do.
I think that's one of the best things about social media. And of course it can be one of the worst things about social media. You know, it's tough to put yourself out there. When you put yourself in the limelight, you kind of welcome anything that comes your way. But speaking of social media, Heel Face Wrestling has a video up called Thunder Rosa, This Life Part One. Can you talk to me a little bit about that video, where it was filmed, things like that?
Yeah, it was filmed in Texas in April this year. I'm still waiting for my part two, which I want to text the guy and be like, where are you? Because we have part two and I think a part three of it. So it was just like the journey of me promoting the show in Texas, our first show, Sabotage show in Texas, which honestly, it was one of those weeks in where I had a lot to think about. I had a lot to think about life, about wrestling, about me as a promoter, as a wrestler, you know, and it's like, it was like tough, because it was like the first time that I actually it was the first time that I do that, like, something like that in Texas, because I did it in California for our first two shows. And it's not easy, like, being a promoter and being a wrestler in the show is not easy at all, because I'm very particular about what we like to put on our shows, and with that I was able to show, you know, like, that, you know, if you want something, you got to work for it. Like, that's how it's the story of my career in wrestling. Like, I've never wait for opportunities to come. We make things happen for us, you know, and Sabotage is an investment that my husband and I were doing, you know, so it's like, I have to make sure that it pays off, and then we have to put people in the seat, because that's how we're going to build our followers for our show.
Yeah, and that was a really eye-opening video. I feel like, I mean, you were on the streets, kind of like your own street team out there handing out flyers, passing out, you know, small-town networking all the way to online and social media. I think you're kind of covering all your bases, and I think that's why fans can connect to you so well. You said, you know, it's tough being a promoter and a talent on your own show. When did you decide to try your hand at promoting? Was that something that interested you growing up as well?
Promoting? Well, I did a lot of... student government stuff when I was in college and in high school too. So I learned a lot of those, like, flyering, talking to people and promoting events through that, because I was always very active. And because of my personality, I'm a people's person. I like to invite people, and, you know, I used to do the posters for our events and stuff like that, and, you know, passing out flyers and stuff like that. But for wrestling, I used all of that, and now I put it on our own promotion. You know, I come up with the ideas for the flyers, because that was my position. One of my positions was event coordinators and stuff like that. So So we did a lot of that. And also my husband and I, we used to do a lot of organizing for like rallies and walkouts for the college that we used to be part of. And, you know, we really got people together, and like when they believe in like the cause or whatever, they will come and, you know, walk out with us and do little rallies with us. So it was, all of that is something that I learned from school and something I worked before. So it's just not that hard, but it's still kind of hard because, you know, not everybody likes wrestling, and you gotta have to get people buy into your product. So, and that's what we're doing with women's wrestling, because believe it or not, right now, yes, it is popular and everything, but it's still, it is hard to fill a place that doesn't really have women's wrestling like that. You know, like I had this conversation with other fans, and where promotions that are established already, they can only bring about, you know, half of the people that we'll bring in a regular show, which is a shame, because we just put as much, even as more effort than that are male counterparts, you know? So it kind of like, it really breaks my heart when I see that, like see all this effort that we put in and then we don't get the same result, you know? And I feel like that's a lack of respect. I'm all about respect, and I'm all about, you know, equality in the business and equality in society. And I feel like in wrestling, still we don't have that spot yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, within like the last 3 or 4 years, there's definitely been a boom in women's wrestling. Now, growing up, were you a fan of professional wrestling?
Nope, not at all. I don't like wrestling.
When did you turn to be to professional wrestling?
Not until it was like after college, I will say, or during college. My first show was, I was in college in San Diego, and we went to a house show for WWE. Then my big, big show was WrestleMania 25. That's when I started watching wrestling, because my husband was a big fan of wrestling. So he had me watching TNA when the knockouts were, like, super cool. You know, you have Gail Kim, Lisa Varun, OBD. That was, like, my favorite, because I'm kind of like that sometimes. And I used to love OBD. That was, like, in 2003, he had me watching that, or it was like, no, I'm sorry, like 2006, 2007, sorry. Then I started watching, like, you know, WrestleMania and, like, shows on Mondays. And then once I graduated from college and I came to the Bay Area, we were looking for something fun to do, and then we found local indie shows here, and I just started following. I thought it was really fun, really entertaining, and I wasn't into it for the wrestling. I was like the entertainment part of it, because it was just like, it will take me from my stress from work. It will take me in another different place, you know. And I really, really enjoy that of wrestling. And then I was working in a rehab facility, and one of my friends, he used to be an announcer, and he kept inviting me to come to this show. And I was just like, man, I got no car, I don't know. He's like, come on. And then the day that we went to the show, he wasn't there. And that's when they announced that they would have tryouts. And my husband was like, hey, we've been coming for a whole year to this show. So I think it'll be fun if you try it out. And I'm like, bro, I don't know none of this stuff. Like, you're crazy. He's like, just go. I'll go in sick tomorrow and try it out. And then I did the tryout, and that's how I got started. And like,
that's a crazy story, because a lot of professional wrestlers are fans growing up. So for you to pick it up, I would say a little bit later on in life. I mean, I don't want to throw out the term natural, but it seems like you're almost a natural, and that's not something that comes easy. So tell me about your tag team, Twisted Sisters, Holly Dead. Is the tag team wrestling come easy to you? Is that something you adjusted to easily? Because I know a lot of people start as a singles wrestler, and there's a little bit of an adjustment period when it comes to becoming a tag team.
I was just answering that question for Diva Nerd, because they asked me the same. It is, I mean, once you get along and you start, like, knowing the person, it comes easy. Like, I'm a very strong-willed person. She's strong-willed. So, when, like, we fight like we're married, you know, when we're, like, putting matches together. But, you know, once you get to know each other, like, you know what you guys going to do. Like, you see each other, you know, it's easier, you know. It becomes natural. So a lot of our stuff is like natural chemistry. So we just feed off each other. So it's fun. it's fun when we're in the ring, especially when you gotta like remember stuff and you don't remember, just look at the person, they're like, do this, and I was like, oh yeah. So it's like, it's much easier. Traveling together has been like really fun. And that part is easy. The part that is hard is getting other two women, to find other two women to like face us. So there's not a lot of female tagging out there, you know? So that's what has been hard. That's probably why we'd wrestle so many men in the last couple months. And I mean, which I'm not complaining, but that's like the most difficult part, you know, finding people to like fight us.
Well, that kind of leads me to Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground is famous for their, I mean, their modern day camera work, their intergender matches. It doesn't seem like you always need to find a female opponent. Tell me a little about Lucha Underground, how that came about, and what that experience is like compared to, and you know, anything else you wrestled in before.
Well, definitely, Lucha Underground was a parachute for my career in another aspect, especially in the lucha community. It came about after we were doing a show in Los Angeles for Stardom USA. They came and there was scouting, and for some reason they picked me, you know, so it was Crazy Joseph, which the funny part is, like, back then I didn't know who Crazy Joseph was. So he came and approached me, and I was just like, because I didn't watch wrestling again, when he came and approached me, I thought he was just like a producer and, you know, somebody from LA, because there's so many famous people. So he came, talked to me and everything, and he gave me his card. I didn't make nothing out of it, you know. Then Eric Van Wagen gave me his card the next day. And I was like, oh, shit, this is real. Then I called them. We had a conversation. Then 3 weeks after, they sent me the contract, and I will sign for Lucha Underground. That's
a big accomplishment. I know there are a lot of people, you know, vying for that position now. Do you think the Lucha Underground spotlight propelled you to number 43 in the PWI top 50? Because that's, I mean, being in the PWI top 50, that's big news for anybody.
Yeah, I think they already had eyes on me. So I've been like, you know, making a name on my own. I mean, definitely having Lucha Underground on my resume just like established me more as a, you know, a legitimate fighter or competitor or whatever you want to call it. But in the indies, my husband and I, we have worked so hard to make sure that we continue to establish the brand of Thunder Rosa as a competitor, as somebody that can't wrestle anybody, you know? And in my first year, I was able to go to Japan. I was able to go to Mexico. You know, I earned some gold, and I think a lot of it has to do with all the work that I've done, you know, in the indies too. But yeah, having Lucha Underground, that's gonna help me. Like I said.
Now, wrestling in Japan and Mexico, am I hearing this right? This year you're going to be going to Europe as well, and going to be applying your craft over there in front of a different crowd, maybe one that's, you know, not been able to see you before.
Can you repeat that question again?
Yeah, sure. You said you wrestled in Japan, you wrestled in Mexico. You're going to be going to Europe this year, correct? And going to be wrestling in front of some people that, you know, maybe have not been able to see you before.
Yes, I'm going in September, the whole month of September. I'm going to be going to London, Spain, Scotland, and Germany. And I'm really excited. And again, I'm excited not only because I'm going to show what, you know, Thunder Rosa does, but also because people are eager to, like, know more about Cobra Moon. And right now, because of Lucha Underground, you know, people are really excited about me coming and, you know, talking to me about Cobra Moon. So it's like a double-dipping thing. So I'm excited to show my in-ring abilities, and I'm also excited to perhaps make some good money selling merch.
Of course. It's all about the merch. And now your style, I mean, in the ring, you are a very hard-hitting, very physical style. That's something that, like you said, especially in England, I think that's going to translate incredibly well to the UK crowd. They have that kind of UK strong style. So I think it'll be interesting to see how well you're received when you bring, you know, the American strong style, if you will, with the Lucha Libre style. That's something that's going to be very interesting.
I hope so. And I work Europe. I think I work the Owens. excellent competitors, and I think I will be working with them again. And I'm going to be working with some of my friends from Japan in the show in Barcelona. And I think, you know, I like working, you know, that style, the Japanese style, hard hitting. Mm. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know. I adapt pretty well to, like, any style, you know. And I think that shows with, you know, a lot of the people that I have worked with, because I don't come in with an attitude where, like, you have to work how I work. It's like, let's work and let's meet in the middle. Because that's important. You know, you don't want to make the other person look bad. And you don't want to have shitty matches. Sorry for my language, but, you know, that's important to me. I mean, I had bad matches, but I'm like, I always, like, I know that I can, even when I have good matches, I know there's a lot of room for improvement. And I only been, like I said, I've only been in the business for a couple months, more than 10 months. And I have a lot to learn, and I still have a lot to, like, work on. And I'm not on my prime yet, you know, so it's like, I keep that in the back of my mind all the time. I always try to do my best. I'm not going to lie. Always try to do my best, and I always try to bring the best out of my opponent. But this Europe tour, I'm really excited because I'm going to get to train in Europe and see, like, the difference, you know, and then bring that back when I come back home.
Yeah, and I think that kind of experience is only going to add to your game. And like you said, it's so important to be able to adapt to other styles. And when you step in the ring, people go on YouTube and they, you know, they look up Thunder Rosa. They're going to see, you know, a plethora of different matches. And no, you know, much to your credit, no two matches are the same. And I think that stands to, you know, how malleable you are and how easy it is for you to adapt to your opponent. Like you said, meet halfway in the middle. I think that's awesome. It's really enjoyable to watch. Now, you talked about going to Europe, so you've only been in the business almost 3 years. What do we have, you know, maybe a five-year plan, or what do you, you know, what's left for you? Where's somewhere you want to see yourself in maybe 5 years?
Well, definitely, I want to earn more gold. Like, I'm like, lately, I've been collecting a lot of gold. My sister, Holiday, was asking me this question earlier. And I was telling her that I want to be one of the most Latina female wrestlers in the business that have not been signed in WWE. That's my goal. And if that means, like, we make Sabotage one of the top women or intergender companies in the United States and in the world, that's want to be one of my goals, you know. And also, I don't know, man, like, travel to Australia. I want to go to Australia. I want to go to Latin America, like South America, to wrestle. And what else? I want to start a couple of businesses that have to do with wrestling, but I can't really talk about it until I have a bigger plan, or like plan it out. But those are like things that I have in my head. And I really, like I said, my goal is I want to leave a legacy. As a Latina, as a born and raised Mexican wrestler that came to the United States and made a legacy, left a legacy in this business without having a big company, you know, backing her up. That's my goal.
Right. Kind of like ECW Ring of Honor, like the ECW and the Ring of Honor mindset, where you want to be the best in the world without having that machine behind you. And I think that's awesome, kind of against the grain. And I think a lot of people can easily get behind that. Now, talk to us about this 8/16 Sabotage show you have coming up. I'm sorry, 8/5. Something's Gotta Give. The War of the Genders. Can you explain what's going to be going on there for me?
Well, it's an all intergender show that will be in Imperial Beach, California on August 5th. Before the show starts, we have this like thing that we started on our second show, and we have a talent show, variety show. But this one will be different because Donovan Troy, which is just our general manager, and Joey will be hosting it. And I think there's going to be a winner. It's like they have all this like elaborate stuff going on. So there we got to show a different part of our entertainment skills. So a lot of our girls and guys are going to be participating. So that's like one of the coolest parts of our show. The fans love it, because especially if they buy VIP tickets. We don't have VIP tickets. We only have front row and general admission. they get to see that. So they get there like an hour earlier and they get to be entertained before, you know, we start killing each other in the ring. So we have different matches. We have tag matches and single matches, and they're all intergender. And I think this will be the very first ever intergender show on the West Coast. So we're really excited about that because we're like trying to break ground on different things that are being done here in California. So for me, I am facing one of the veterans in California. His name is Ray Rosas, who is a member of Hate. He is pretty brutal, so I'm expecting to have a pretty hard-hitting match, and I hope I can come out alive and win and as a winner. Because all my family is going to be there. So other than that, we have Mariachi Loco and Holiday, and that's a match that a lot of people are waiting for because they've been like cutting promos back and forth and doing all this fun stuff. So that's going to be a very interesting match. And then we have our champion going against another champion of that promotion, the FCW, which is Delilah Doom. And Delilah Doom has been like, lately has been, is, her name is growing and she's very popular. So that's going to be a very interesting match. So yeah, we're really, really excited for this show. It's in my hometown. I used to live in San Diego and we're bringing that to our hometown. And like I said, it's like the first ever intergender show and we're very, very excited about it.
That's awesome. That's definitely something to be proud of, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck on that. I hope that show goes great. And I want to let you know, I'm on ProWrestlingTees.com under Thunder Rosa, and I got to tell you, you have two of the most badass T-shirt designs I've ever seen. The Golden State Warriors one is awesome.
Oh, they love that shirt. I mean, I know that they hate the Warriors. A lot of people hate it, but yeah, everybody's asking me for that shirt. It's like, you don't have that shirt? And I was like, no, it's only on Pro Wrestling Tees. I like to have, like, you know, exclusivity on certain stuff. And, like, the stuff that I sell on the shows is just on the shows. And the stuff that are on Pro Wrestling Tees is only on Pro Wrestling Tees. So, and it helps that the Warriors won. So, I've been selling some of those pretty good.
Definitely. And listen, if anybody's listening to this, go to ProWrestlingTees.com, look under Thunder Rosa and buy the Golden State Warriors tee and, you know, the Unstoppable Thunder Rosa shirt too. These are awesome designs. So now all your fans that are listening to the show, where can we keep up with you? Where can we follow you? Tell us how to keep in touch.
You can keep in touch on my Twitter and Instagram. It's at ThunderRosa22. And on my Facebook like page, it's ThunderRosa2. I should be uploading more videos on YouTube and on my website, which is ThunderRosa22 for YouTube and UnstoppableTR.com. That's my website. So that's what I'm – those are the places that you can find me.
That is awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck with the Something's Gotta Give show. And over in Europe, we'd love to touch base with you again once you get back. Let us know how it was. And again, everybody check out Thunder Rosa, ProWrestlingTees.com, and pick up some merch.
Yes, guys, because that's how I'm raising money to stay in Europe for a month, selling all my merch.
Awesome. And we thank you again. We'd like to thank Thunder Rosa for stopping by the show. It was awesome. Great to talk to her. And again, if you want, go to YouTube.com. Go to YouTube. Everybody's got a YouTube app.
www.youtube.com. That's what I, World Wide Web.
And Google, whatever, Thunder Rosa, and look up her matches. She is.
I like to ask Jeeves personally when I need to find something on the internet.
Yeah, I'm going to go search CompuServe. But no, seriously, I mean, this girl, for only being in the business, you know, 3 years, what a great talent, unbelievable, awesome matches. And as I said before, and I really wasn't just saying it, if you watch all of her matches, no two matches are the same. And that's not likely in this day and age. A lot of times, you know, up-and-coming wrestlers, they kind of get in their groove and they stick with what works. And she's out there working with different people, intergender matches. Do the right thing and pick up the Golden State Warrior shirt for the third time because it's super badass. We should get a shirt on ProWrestlingTees.com.
We should. I think we're only like 4,900 followers on Twitter, on Twitter away from getting it. So
cool. So if everybody listening,
but surely we'll be on there.
Well, Thunder Rosa has 14,000 followers on Instagram.
Yep.
So if every single one of her followers
yeah
were to listen to our show, uh-huh, like our page, at All Night Long WP.
That's correct.
You will be the first ones to get a free t-shirt from the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast and Pro Wrestling Tees. It is going to be silkscreened. It's going to be a Polaroid of me slugging a bottle of Clorox to the face. That's going to be the shirt. It's going to say, drink bleach, save water.
Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle some Drano over my pasta tonight. So, you know, whatever. We can maybe get a little screen cap.
Yeah.
A little screen cap of that. And you'll get that image on a shirt.
Yeah, why don't you just kick me in the nuts for an hour?
Or like a sheet cake. I like to have an image on a sheet cake, maybe. And then just we can eat a picture of me eating Drano. You know what, really? We were doing so well.
It's like Inception.
Thunder Rosa left, we just...
She brought a lot of positivity. She brought a great discussion. Yeah. Now we're back to you and I being garbage. Just terrible, disgustingly ugly I am, at least. You're, no,
that's terrible.
You're
that's
the ridiculous. Stallion. No. You're keeping us together here. Disgusting. What are we talking about this week?
Well, I think
Great we got a couple, Balls of Fire.
A couple of things, yeah. I got a little Great Balls of Fire, and then things that are happening on Raw, obviously, that leading into SummerSlam.
And then we want to do the five count.
We got the five count. We've been teasing the five count. I think more than anything has been teased on this show in the history of this show. So
you know what? Because we never know when anything's going to happen on the show.
We better make it good.
I think, do we want to, why don't you?
Let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view.
Damn it, I wanted to do the five count.
You want to do the five count?
No, I'm just kidding.
The pay-per-view. Okay. I feel like that's the main event, right? Is the five count.
It will
list.
Be.
Try it. I'll give my list. You'll tell me how stupid it is, and then we'll just keep going. That's how
I You'll yell at me for having nine Kenny Omega matches on a five count. Five Kenny Omega matches and four honorable mentions and one Bret Hart match that I watched. So. All right, so let's talk about Great Balls of Fire. This Sunday, the Raw pay-per-view, it's not the Great American Bash. It's the Great Balls of Fire. Now, going into the pay-per-view, I would say we had – less than high expectations. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was looking at the two main events of Lesnar versus Joe and Strowman versus Reigns in the ambulance match as the two matches that I was hoping would deliver, you know, quality entertainment in the ring, right? The other stuff, I wasn't real sure, right? I didn't really expect a lot out of Wyatt and Rollins or Ambrose and Miz, that can kind of go either way. The Iron Man match, I was hoping would be good. I like Iron Man matches. I like both those teams. So I wasn't sure which way that was going to go. So I was kind of teetering on how the show was going to be. It could have been, I thought, good. It could have been maybe not so good going in. So I wasn't really sure what to expect overall.
I was pleasantly surprised with the entire show. We'll just quickly go match by match. Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins. It was a decent match for what it was, but I really feel like there wasn't a lot of heat, a lot of chutzpah in that match, if you will.
Yeah, these guys, I feel like popular is not the right word, but as featured of guys as they've been for the last couple of years, is Wyatt especially, I feel like, has been involved in matches that have been entirely underwhelming. And maybe not as good as I expected. I think he early on in his run, he had a match with Daniel Bryan at the Rumble in 2014 that was very, very good. And I think based off of that, myself and a lot of other fans were expecting Wyatt to kind of be at a level where, okay, this is a big guy that can really go in the ring. He's going to have a lot of good matches with a lot of different guys. And I really can't think of many matches since then that have stood out to me as being, you know, excellent one-on-one matches that he's been involved in. So he's been a little disappointing in the ring.
Do you think, sorry to cut you off, do you think that has to do with his gimmick more than his ability?
I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of both, but you know, he doesn't like wrestle like that slowly in terms of like, he does a lot of moves that are quick, right? The Sister Abigail, he does like that crossbody. Like he does some things that are very athletic. It's just his matches are just not, you know, bell to bell.
Humdingers?
Yeah, they're not really, really, very
nice,
captivating or whatever you want to call it. So it's just been, he's been very hit or miss. And Rollins, I like a lot. I think he's a really good worker. But for whatever reasons, if it's his character or his opponents or the feuds he's been in, some of them kind of end up falling flat. He's had matches with Kevin Owens, I think we all had high expectations for, that maybe weren't as good as we thought they were going to be.
Definitely.
You know, and this match with Wyatt, I thought was not bad. It was solid. It was an opener as the opener, but I didn't think it was like a blowaway match or a crazy, you know, spot, whatever you want to call it, a crazy great wrestling match that I would go back and watch again.
Yeah, I thought, like I said, it was serviceable, and Bray Wyatt got the win, which I definitely think was the right move. The next match really is not much to talk about. Was an elongated squash. The story was that Enzo wouldn't give up, and Big Cass beat his ass in 5 minutes, throwing him out of the ring, you know, destroying him, big boot. Enzo sells like a champ, and the right guy won here.
Yeah, I think, you know, if any outcome that wasn't Big Cass destroying Enzo was probably not the right outcome. So they kind of did that. It went about a little over 5 minutes. It was what you expected it to be. They really don't seem to see Enzo as any sort of significant player as an in-ring character. So he seems to be more of a promo guy or that type of thing. So they seem set on pushing Big Cass. So, you know, that's kind of what they went with that. So that was the right outcome.
Yep. Next was the Iron Man. This I call shenanigans. This was not an Iron Man match.
Why not?
Because it's 30 minutes. Iron Man is 60 minutes.
It was a 30-minute Iron Man match. So I think
That's like saying he bowled a 150, 300. No, it's a half an Iron Man match. It's a Plastic Man match. That's what I would say to these marks. I'm just kidding. It was a good match. I just wouldn't call it an Iron Man match. Cesaro and Sheamus defeated the Hardy Boys 4-3, and man, what a good match. It kind of, in the middle, I thought it was, what's the word I'm looking for? A little plotting, but I think really towards the end, like the last 15 minutes, they really ramped it up, and they got, maybe last 10 minutes, and there were some good spots. Matt got busted open, I don't even know how, but that dude was bleeding like a stuck pig. I definitely added to the match. Of course, wasn't, you know, he wasn't supposed to. It was the hard way, as the kids call it, and, definitely the right team won. Cesaro and Sheamus are on a roll, and they're only getting better. I'm loving what they're doing with them, and I'm glad they kept the titles on them.
Yeah, I thought the match was very good. I read some recaps of it where some of the, you know, the reviewers thought it was a little bit slow or boring early on. I didn't really get that feel from it. I was kind of into it the whole way. I liked that the way that they opened the match with the surprise, you know, distraction pinfall finish right away on Matt. So, you know, the heels doing heel stuff, and the ending sequence, the last like 5 or 6 minutes, was very, very good and action packed. So the right team won and kept the titles. I think that was the right thing to do. And they put on a great match. And I don't know what's next for Sheamus and Cesaro, but they got to couple with another team to face.
Yeah. The next match, Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. For my money, I think this was the most disappointing match on the card. It started off pretty hot, but I don't know. These two girls, I don't know if they didn't click or maybe just the count out finish, which we saw happen, 2 months ago? Alexa Bliss left.
She does that. That's her thing.
That's her thing, yeah. I'm kind of tired of that count out finish, at least, you know, cheat to win. But these two, they had a decent match, but I think I just had higher expectations for a 12-minute match between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. I think you know, I don't remember what, you know, I would have expected it to be a situation where Bliss either got disqualified or counted out. They probably want to, you know, extend this feud out a little bit longer. It's just getting started. I don't know if they have a plan for SummerSlam or what they're going to do, but I think they're back to kind of featuring Sasha Banks in the women's division on Raw. They've kind of, I don't know, I say they've given up on Bayley, but they've pushed her a little bit to the back of the line.
Well, until Monday.
Well, I mean,
who knows?
They don't really seem to have a plan. So yeah, it was okay. It wasn't really anything great. They had a little bit of a brawl after the match ended, a spot up by the announce table, which they probably should have just done that during the match then, and we had a double count out, and maybe that would have been a better way to book it. But
seriously, on the fly, you're pulling out better ideas. That would have been a great ending. It would have, yeah, we get Alexa Bliss is a chicken poop heel, but like, you know, you could have had Alexa Bliss try to leave, get the count out, Sasha followed her, then did the spot.
Yeah.
That's probably why don't we get paid the big bucks?
We're not Hollywood writers, so that doesn't really. Or we don't qualify.
Or I'm not smart. I can't put words in things and make sentences. I suck.
Speaking of, The Miz versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship was next. And for as good a match as these guys had, I think, at Extreme Rules in the opener, which was a surprisingly good match, I think, it exceeded my expectations. This one, I think, fell well below the expectations. I was hoping they would have at least as good of a match as they did in the prior month, but it seemed like it was more just a just there for the shenanigans and to establish the Miztourage, who I do enjoy.
Yeah, me too.
As a you know, as part of the act, and you know, these guys needed to move in different directions from each other. I don't know if they're actually going to do that, but they need to move in different directions from each other. And hopefully this is the last singles match in the feud, and they can both move on. Miz retained the championship over Dean Ambrose a little over 11 minutes.
Yeah, these guys have wrestled together so many times I've lost count. But I'll tell you this, every match has been at the very least serviceable. You know, I thought this was another strong match between the two. I think they just seem to have a really good chemistry. And I'm also not the biggest fan of Dean Ambrose in the ring. I think, you know, he's kind of gotten a little bit stale and stuff. But I don't know if The Miz brings it out of him or Ambrose is really kind of working a little bit harder. But I thought, they've been doing their thing. And Miz had to – the cheating heel had to resort to his wife and two cronies to beat the good guy. And I thought that it was by the book booking, if you will. But it was good. We're so excited to both talk about the Ambrose match. Keyed in. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in an ambulance match. I don't usually like ambulance matches. I think they're the outcomes are a little weak. This was one of the better ones I can remember. Roman Reigns needs to be praised for his selling ability. That guy spent like 16 minutes and 34 seconds just bumping all around the ring for Braun Strowman. Roman Reigns is not a small guy. Thought it was a really good match between these two. Braun, he's obviously wrestling longer matches, but they're doing a really good job in hiding any of his faults. And Roman's the guy to do it because Roman's going to just, you know, ping pong all around the ring. And yeah, I thought they had a good match. The ending, however, was a little questionable in my mind. Why buy Braun win the match if you're just going to make Roman the number one contender the next night? You could have just had Roman win the match.
I think the story is yet to be told, my friend. That's what I'm going to go with.
Do you know something I don't know?
I know some things. I feel like I predicted some things. I'm not going to say what they are because I then read a potential spoiler, so I don't want to spread that out. Spread the word out on that.
Let me guess. I'm just going to – now, see, me, I don't – you could say yes or no if it's true. I don't read the sheets of the dirt. So is it possible Braun is going to come back next week and inject himself in the – Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe match?
That's possible.
Okay. All right, good. It's possible. Let's keep it a possible. But anyway, the finish was a little weird. Braun was by the ambulance doors. Roman went for the spear. Braun moved. Roman went in there. Then Braun shut the door and got the W. Roman comes out, hits him with a super duper ooper spear, and then throws him in the ambulance for no reason whatsoever, and then kills him.
Attempted murder. I think we need to make sure he's not dead that we know of.
They didn't really
provide an update. But
maybe
he went to the woods
and passed on.
I mean, I would hope that somebody would have found him by now.
He's a big man.
Would have put that on the, you know, on the website or the app or the Twitter or something.
Probably the same place where they're talking about the Del Rio and Paige scandal. Huh?
I don't know. So after the match was over, the attempted murder of Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns commandeered the ambulance, put Braun in the ambulance, and backed it up into a bigger truck or something and just crushed it and
killed him.
Braun was in there.
He was dead.
It was an attempted murder. He was pretty banged up when they eventually got the jaws of life, as opposed to just, you know, getting somebody in the ambulance and driving it forward 5 feet away from the truck. They used the jaws of life to get the...
Or even try to open the door instead of using a crowbar. Yeah. Like, he didn't even use a handle.
But he was okay. He got out. He was a little bit banged up, but he was able to kind of walk away.
So Roman Reigns isn't a heel, but he murdered somebody.
Yeah. So in the last, like, 6 months or so, we've had Roman Reigns try to kill Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman also tried to kill Roman Reigns. So yeah. I guess this is just, you know, what's fair is fair.
You know, it's interesting. The announcers did not once touch on that. That it was like payback for what happened to the Coliseum.
Yeah. And also Randy Orton tried to, you know, burn as hard. He committed arson. I think arson is the term for the
desecration of a grave. I think that's like a felony too.
There's a lot going on there. So anyway, the next night, well, actually we'll get to that after the fact. So that was that match.
And they kind of threw out Heath Slater and Kurt Hawkins, which was,
I kind of actually appreciated that a little bit for like them trying to make it seem like a realistic situation where they didn't really know what to do because of that. So like, I'll just put these guys out there. And I think one of them came out, was like still lacing up their boots. One guy was putting like tape on his wrists or whatever.
Hawkins came out with no boots on. He's laying with tape at his wrists.
Yeah, it was stuff like that. That was.
Could they have showed us the finish of the match though? Because like you heard they were showing Braun coming out and you heard the finish of the match and they didn't show it. So that was
tough for Heath, I guess, getting a win on pay-per-view though. Good for him.
Yeah. Poor Kurt Hawkins. Yeah.
No good.
Some must die for others to live.
So the main event was Brock Lesnar against Samoa Joe.
Here we go.
They started. So before the match started, Joe attacked him and attacked Lesnar and got him on the outside and put him through a table. So the match started out pretty fast paced. Crowd was hot for it. Brock ended up, you know, kind of stumbling and recovering, getting back in the ring. They started the match and Joe kind of dominated for the most part. Match only went about 6.5 minutes, but Joe was relatively dominant throughout. I mean, Brock got some spots in with his suplexes in the middle, but Joe was mostly on the offensive, including getting the choke on him on Lesnar several times.
It's the coquina clutch.
Yeah, it's a chokehold.
It's technically not a chokehold. It's a blood choke. It's not an air choke, so it's not technically classified as a chokehold. It's more of a sleeper.
You should probably call it something different than a blood choke, then. Right? I mean, I'm not a dictionary.
Did they say it was a blood choke?
I don't know, that's what you said.
Yeah, it is. See, the coquina clutch, they're cutting off the carotid arteries, which apparently is allowed, but you're not allowed to cut off the air supply because that can kill you. So that's why they stop you from choking people in the ring in certain situations.
Okay.
I'm a mark.
That being said, Samoa Joe had Lesnar in the choke several times. Lesnar seemed like he was going out, but he ended up catching him, or honestly, sort of breaking out of the choke and hit him with an F5 and then won the match in about 6.5 minutes. I guess the goal of the match here was they wanted to keep the title on Brock, but they wanted to keep Samoa Joe at least looking strong, you know, in the ring, you know, him having the advantage over Brock and kind of getting the upper hand on him for most of the match, and then just losing to Brock's big move at the end. So up for debate, I guess, on whether that was effective or not, but that's what they were going for. And Brock ended up retaining the Universal Championship for, you know, another show.
I want to hear your opinions on it before I give mine. Cause I watched this, great big balls, like over 3 days in different parts. So I think I actually enjoy, like Lord of the Rings. I think I actually enjoy pay-per-views more that way. And maybe I have a better outlook on it because it's not like you're sitting through 3 hours at once. So I would like to hear what you have to say about this match before I give my critiques.
I mean, I thought it wasn't a bad match. I thought it was an exciting match. I mean, in a similar vein to how the Goldberg-Lesnar matches were, only a little bit longer, obviously, because Joe's a much more polished worker than Goldberg is, especially these days. But, you know, I think my expectations going in were that Lesnar was going to keep the championship. I didn't really give Joe much of a chance to win here. So, I mean, it kind of stinks that they almost, I don't want to say booked themselves into a corner, but almost that seems like essentially what happened, because Joe got so over and so much momentum in the build to the match that it was almost at a point where you really probably shouldn't have lost. But that's not what their plan is, and you really can't have Lesnar losing that often anyway. So as far as what they were going for, I thought they did a solid job of making Joe look strong by getting the upper hand on Lesnar early, attacking him, putting through a table on the outside, securing the choke several times, and Lesnar just kind of barely escaping and getting out of it and winning. So I thought that part was effective. I wouldn't have minded seeing them go a little bit longer than 6.5 minutes. So I would like my main events to be at least like 10 minutes if I can get that. So and I'm sure these two are both capable of doing that. So I don't know why they only made it go 6.5 minutes. So I would have liked it to be a little bit longer. But in terms of the outcome and the booking of it, I'm not going to really complain about it, because I think that's just – I knew Lesnar was going to win, so I just kind of left it. I kind of accepted it for what it was.
I thought, you know, I'm buying into the Lesnar hype. I'm buying into the Lesnar big fight feel, because before that match, before those guys came out, I think it was, you know, the atmosphere was there. It was kind of like a Mike Tyson fight back in the day. Like, you didn't know what was going to happen, and that's kind of what they're doing with Lesnar. You don't know if he's going to bloody the guy up. You don't know if he's going to run through him in 90 seconds, you know. And there's an air of mystique, I guess, around it. The problem I have is in the layout of the match with Brock Lesnar. The only moves he did this entire match were shoulder bumps in the corner and German suplexes and then the F5. I'm tired of the suplex city. I've said it before. I'll say it again, especially in this kind of match. You have a guy like Samoa Joe that could bump around. He could take different suplexes. He's a very capable worker. I'm sick to death of just the German. You got to stop with it. Now, I completely agree with you. The WWE did a phenomenal job on making Samoa Joe look like a complete badass. And I think he actually should have won this match. It was okay that he lost, but I would not have had Samoa Joe pinned in the main event of this show. Was that his first pinfall loss?
No, Rollins pinned him with a roll-up in their one-on-one match, I think, a couple years ago.
Okay. All right. Well, in a couple of years ago?
Pay-per-views ago.
Oh, pay-per-views ago. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to say it killed his momentum, but, you know, I bought into the fact that Samoa Joe could beat Brock Lesnar, and I would have accepted some kind of Fugazi finish where, you know, Lesnar was in the choke and he jumped back and then Samoa Joe's shoulders down and they got the three count that way. But I just think one F5, I don't know where getting the pin. I thought it was a weak finish personally. However, the whole show as a whole, I mean, I really enjoyed it top to bottom. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give it a B.
Yeah, I'd probably go B-minus, I'll say. B-minus on the show. There's probably about three of the matches that I enjoyed very much, and the rest of it was kind of okay or whatever the rest of the way. So not a bad effort from them, certainly. There's been worse shows, so they have some solid stuff on there, and now they're going to build up the SummerSlam.
Yeah, the build up the SummerSlam. That's going to lead us right into our Raw breakdown. But before we get to that, we want to remind you of a couple of things. A, we are the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast, and we are the official podcast of ProWrestling.com, no matter what anybody else tells you. We are brought to you by the Damage 365 Radio Network.
This is Lanny Poffo, formerly the genius full of glory and renown. You are listening to Damage 365 Radio.
And we are back. Where were we? We hit all the spots. I want to tell you about our Twitter and our Instagram, at All Night Long WP, and our Facebook, facebook.com/AllNightLongWP. You could also follow Pro Wrestling. You could subscribe to ProWrestling.com on YouTube. So if you decide to watch us, do you really watch a show or do you listen to the show?
I mean, whatever they prefer.
Give you options.
Options.
We give you content.
It's out there.
You guys absorb it. And hopefully you like us, you rate us, you subscribe to us, you talk about us, you like one of my pictures. You say, hey, nice beard. Hey, Joe, biceps looking good. Lots of options out there. Maybe.
I don't bring anything to the table here.
You know, you're selling yourself short. Now, listen, we said we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. What do you think?
The only thing I guess I'll just say about Raw generally is, you know, they set up some stuff for next week. The two things majorly were they have a Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe number one contenders match for next week where the winner will face Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. And then they also have seemingly teased the final end of the Kurt Angle personal problem, text message, cell phone, Corey Graves, hair gel,
Paige,
turtle wax.
Del Rio.
Nope. Nope.
We're not going there, huh?
Not getting into the El Patron. Nope. Not going to do it. I'm going to stay away.
Until all the facts are out.
It's just a bad story, and I just don't even want to. I'm already.
I guess neither one of them are out of the woods yet. Am I right?
There it is. I like that. I appreciate that. That was good.
Thanks.
I do like that.
I sat on that one for a little bit. Just like Paige.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. So those are the two things I think, as far as Raw was concerned, that I took away from it. So I think Reigns and Joe will be a very good match next week. I do kind of have a feeling where they're going with that, but we'll see how it plays out next week. And I have no idea where the Kurt Angle thing is going to end up. I just really hope it doesn't have to do with Stephanie McMahon. If we can avoid that, I would really appreciate it. But I we'll see.
I heard somebody's idea. It's not a spoiler, but can I?
You can say what it is. Sure.
This is not my idea. I read it on a website. I have no idea whose it was, so I'm not giving that person credit, nor do I care.
Was it Up Rocks?
No.
Okay.
I think it was X Hamster.
That's not.
No.
You shouldn't be visiting those sites. That's not.
It was on the bottom.
To be good Christian boys. That's not.
I'm censoring my ears.
What was your idea?
Thank you. It wasn't my idea. That next week on Raw, you're going to see Dixie Carter.
I did hear that.
You did, because they're in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is apparently where Dixie's from.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that. I will say I saw somebody post something on Twitter. And Charmel, who's Booker T's wife, I think either retweeted it or commented out. And it was a picture of like if two people, you know, got together, what their child would look like. And it was a picture of Charmel and Kurt Angle. I guess they were speculating that maybe Charmel was the mystery person. And the child that they would have had was Jason Jordan, and it looked exactly like somebody, like if they had gotten
together. I was actually thinking Aaron Judge. Were you saying that? I was thinking of an Aaron Judge. That is, oh my God, that is.
I don't know.
I want to find that and retweet it now.
So that's
what's going on in Raw. It was a very lackluster show match wise. So there's really not much to break down, but it's going to lead to something interesting next week. Speaking of something interesting, we are back with this week's edition of the Five Count. And this week, what we are doing is we are giving you our five best matches of the year 2017 so far. I can't wait to hear your list. Stop looking at my list.
I'm not looking at your list.
You're looking.
This is me. I'm already aggravated. So I want to let's
bring it on.
Do you want to go first?
Or do
you
let's do this. First? Actually, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. I excluded both Omega versus Okada matches from my list.
Why?
Because I don't want to argue with you on air anymore about them. I put in my mind I would have them on there, but I took them off the match because they are a source of great discomfort. It's like talking about politics on here. So I took that match off the list for you.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Why don't you start? What, you want to sneak it? You go five. I'll go 5-4. You start with number five.
I put
Omega versus Okada. I'm just kidding.
Not at five, no. I tried to, you know, I wanted to make sure my list was diverse in terms of different promotions and styles and things like that. So I was looking at, I looked back at all the major cards of this year.
I did this exact same thing because my list, I looked at it and I was like, I need some more diversity.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I think I only came up with like three matches. So I'm like, I really got to look. And
it's been a long year when you think about it, right?
Yeah, there's been a lot, right? So I went through all the WWE shows, I went through all the NXT shows, I went through all the Ring of Honor shows, I went through some of the New Japan shows. The only Impact show was in July, so there wasn't really much there as far as pay-per-view was concerned. Anyway, the fifth match I have on the list, I put a Ring of Honor match on, and it was a triple threat tag match from the anniversary show in March. It was the Hardys versus the Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice in a Las Vegas street fight. So I just kind of looked at all the different ROH shows and at least the ones that were aired, and of all the matches on the shows for this year, I enjoyed that one, I think, the most. I just remember watching it, that short run that the Hardys had.
We watched it on together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great match.
The short run that the Hardys had, I felt like, was very very good in Ring of Honor, and obviously the Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice are both good teams. I think this was the match where Rocky Romero had like that sleeve of thumbtacks on.
I totally forgot about that.
He got some clothes on. So I remember that match being really good. I mean, there's a lot of matches probably similar to that that Ring of Honor has put on, especially involving similar wrestlers and teams. But I do remember liking that one. So I put that one at number five.
That's a good call. That's not on my list, but it could be. I did the same thing as you. I made my list and I looked around and I'm like, I need to get a little bit more diverse in here. I also went with number five as a Ring of Honor match. I have Will Ospreay versus Jay White from Ring of Honor World of the Worlds. I was there front and center for that match. I was there front row, and that was watching that was exciting. I went back and I watched it when I got home, and I've watched it multiple times since then. I think that was kind of Jay White's singles coming out party. He, phenomenal match. And Will Ospreay, obviously, it was one of his stronger style matches. So I really enjoyed that one. That was in New York City. Number four actually is another Ring of Honor match. And this one, I don't think it's going to make your list, but it might if you think about it. Jay Lethal versus Bobby Fish from the Ring of Honor 50th anniversary show. Not a match on paper. You look at it like, oh man, this match is going to be amazing. But, two very, very technical guys. They worked a very smart match, a lot of psychology, and it was something that I watched so many times I can't even remember. That's number four on my list.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, no, I remember that match being very good. I think I looked at that. There was a bunch of matches, like a handful of matches that I had come up with that didn't make the the five.
Do you have honorable mentions?
I did. I have a couple, yeah.
I have nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
That's extensive.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say.
That's extensive.
I'm just kidding. I have four.
Four, okay. I think I have like maybe two or three, I believe. So, but that match was definitely very good. So I like that. Number four, I did put one of the Okada Omega matches on. I put the second one, the draw. I thought the draw was better than the original one. So I had that at the fourth on the list. I mean, those guys are both, they work very well together. Of course, I think that's nothing something that everybody can probably agree on. And I like the second match better. I do like matches that are draws. I thought that they had a callback to their previous match and some of the storyline in there. So I don't want to need to get into too much more detail than that, I think. But
we've talked about those matches enough.
Yeah, so that's, I have that at number four. And number three, I have another tag match. It was a triple threat tag match from NXT. It was Authors of Pain, Revival, and DIY. That, I believe, is from Orlando around WrestleMania weekend. It was an elimination tag match. I remember that match being extremely good, especially in the very beginning when DIY was in it. Once they got eliminated first, it slowed down a little bit, but I thought the match was done very, very well. So I have that as number three on my list.
Completely forgot about that match. It would have made my honorable mentions. So it was a great call by you. Number three, I have from NXT TakeOver Chicago, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. That was, I think it was better than their match in the UK Championship. This match was, man, probably the best you'll see in WWE all year. I think that's a bold statement, but I think it's true. The kid, Tyler Bate's like 15 or something, and he's just going out there and deadlifting people, and Pete Dunne's an awesome heel, and he won the title in that match, and he deserves it. He's, you know, unfortunately, we don't see enough of these UK guys, but especially these two. I think Tyler Bate's gimmick is, you know, he's just kind of like a throwback, but like age 19, so the kid's got a bright future, and these two definitely stole the show. I can't even remember the main event of NXT Chicago. Was that Nakamura and Bobby Roode?
Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, it was Roode and Itami. Was
that okay?
But yeah. I think the main event of the show was the DIY ladder match.
Okay, yeah, so that's a now just thinking about it, that's a pretty good show all around. So, number two, I have poop joke. Nice. I have Kushida and Takahashi versus for new NJPW Dominion. Kushida and, you know, he's been a consistent player in the juniors for the last probably 3 years. And Takahashi has really, you know, what was his name in Ring of Honor?
You know, I think about this all the time.
And I keep forgetting.
And it. I keep, Kamatachi.
Kamatachi. Yes, that's what it was. Great call. Good call. So Takahashi kind of came into his own, I would say, only like in the last 6 to 8 months. And he had a gimmick change. He's kind of crazy. He wears like a vest that has like Misfits logos on it and stuff like that. So I'm a big mark for him. But he updated his moveset too. And he's got the Sunset Bomb, which to me is like the scariest move in pro wrestling. And him and Kushida just had a hell of a match. They kind of harked back to when Takahashi won the belt in like 4 minutes or 5 minutes of the New Japan show before that. And they were teasing it, but these two just beat the hell out of each other. The match was about a half an hour. And, you know, a lot of good psychology, working on the arm, setting up for the finish the entire time. Kushida was working on the arm, set up for the hoverboard lock, aka the Kimura. And it was just a very well done pro wrestling match with a ton of high spots. So you can't really beat that.
No, that was a very good match as well. I think that was on my honorable mentions list. So
HM list. The HM.
So my second item or match rather on the list, I had Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate from the TakeOver Chicago.
Yep.
Obviously, that's a match I think everybody was talking about immediately as it happened, and right after, you know, those guys kind of stole the show. It was a big, you know, I don't know what you want to say, like a big footprint, I guess, for the UK guys. I mean, that whole, you know, UK tournament and that brand, whatever it is or it's going to become, hasn't really been fully, you know, put together yet. It seems like they're kind of figuring it out. But I think those two guys, and they put that match on the show, and I felt like I was like, all right, well, they probably just don't have enough feuds to put on the show with the regular NXT stuff. So they put these guys on there, and it was kind of whatever. I didn't think it was going to, you know, be anything crazy, but they had a crazy match. Really, really got a lot of people talking. So I think it's hard to exclude that from any list of top matches this year. So I had that at number two.
I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait.
You can't wait?
I can't wait.
No, I think number one, you know, it's a match I think a lot of people talk about, a lot of people remember from, you know, it's from the Royal Rumble, right? So it was AJ Styles and John Cena for the WWE title was, you know, the main. Why are you looking at me weird like that? I don't understand.
Nothing. Go ahead. Do a list. It's fine.
Oh, see, okay. Now we're gonna start. We're gonna start with that. Oh, it's my list.
No, it is. No, I want you. You know, nothing wrong with your list. I'm just
good.
I'm a little surprised. That's all.
A little surprised. Okay. Well, I think it's, you know, it was. They've had great matches together, and I think certainly in the WWE main roster stuff, I can't really think of a match that was better than that this year. And you know, it was, you know, very entertaining match. You know, I was not really a fan of John Cena winning, but they did what they were going to do. They had those guys have great matches together. It was a great match, great story. In front of a really, really big crowd in San Antonio and the Alamo Dome. So that, I believe, is the top match of the year thus far. Well, it's just, your turn.
Yeah, no, it's – I actually also had – no, I'm totally just kidding. Maybe I'm going to have to go back and watch that match again. How long was it? Do you have to roughly?
Probably like 25 minutes. Okay.
I'm going to do you justice, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch that match. And oh. I will. It wasn't a match that I remembered. There's been a lot of wrestling this year, and I really don't remember that match that well. I remember being good, but I feel like I'm doing a disservice to you by commenting on it without seeing it. So I'm not going to do that. I think that's what an adult does. So my number one was Ishii versus Omega from New Japan Pro Wrestling Night 2. I'm getting a look that you gave me. What's with the look?
I must say, I'm waiting for you. You're going to give a little, you know,
I'm a big mark for the tournaments. Any kind of tournament, I don't care what it is. I feel like it has more meaning to it. And for some reason, I think it's a suspense the tournament actually builds. When you have like the title, the main match in the tournament, that match immediately means more than another random match on a show. So I think that adds to the excitement of the match, and I think tournament matches are just there's something about them. Now, the story in this match was Ishii's got a – I believe JR said he's – I think I said it last time – he's a goddamn refrigerator, and he is. And Ishii could withstand insane amounts of punishment on his neck and on his head and all this stuff, and Omega kind of had to, you know, chop the big guy down throughout the match, and there were countless – you know, there was a ridiculous dragon suplex off the apron, not even through a table, just on a table, had the Ishii's head snapping back. And, you know, there was a couple of points when I really thought, you know, Ishii was going to win the match, despite me actually having been spoiled before I saw it. And I still bought it to the finish. And I think the atmosphere was, you know, added to it. And they went about 30 minutes in that match. And Ishii's probably one of the most underrated wrestlers today. The guy's like 41, 42 years old, and his matches with Naito, his matches with Omega, his matches with Okada, he's really, you know, one of the best right now, as good as they come. He really rises up to the occasion of big matches, and Omega is just Omega, and people love him and people buy into it. And, you know, I just thought it was a very, very important and a very solid match.
Okay. Good thing.
All right. All right, now for the honorable mentions real quick before we close this up. What'd you have on the list?
I think I had that Takahashi and Kushida match on there.
Okay.
And I think I had that Fatal 5-Way from Extreme Rules on there. Those are the two that I remember off the top of my head as far as, you know, I don't know if there's anything else that really stood out to me. I went, like I said, I looked back at all the pay-per-views and all the shows. Those are the ones that kind of stuck out to me as, you know, as matches that would be in there. I mean, I thought that, you know, this one, Tanahashi Naito had a good match. I think it, I don't know which if it was Dominion or the Wrestle Kingdom or both, but
I think they wrestled both. Yeah.
So those are also good. So I had those in the list.
I'll just give two. One for me was, I mean, now the now infamous match, but Okada versus Shibata was a really, really good match. Now it's going to be looked at, you know, definitely differently in history because of what happened to Shibata, but that was a very, very strong match. And then the other one was Ishii versus Naito from the New Japan show. Like I said, Ishii, big fan of the dude, like his style, love the lariat. So I think we both had good lists. I think it kind of highlights each one of us, you know, and I got to go back and watch Cena versus Styles. Maybe you got to go back and watch Omega versus Ishii.
I mean, I watched it like maybe 2 weeks ago. And
that's true. You know, it's fresh in your mind. Yeah, it's fresh in your mind. So. But, man, we have an extra long edition of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. I appreciate you guys checking us out. I appreciate Thunder Rosa for sitting down with us virtually and speaking with us. You want to follow us, you can do so on the Instagram, at All Night Long WP, on Twitter, at All Night Long WP, Facebook.com/All Night Long WP. Go to iTunes, get your subscribe, get your likes on. We appreciate everything. And just wait by the phone, because once our shirts come out, I'm going to be calling every one of you that likes us on Twitter. And I'm going to be personally hand-delivering those shirts as soon as they come out. If they don't come out, you guys don't get a damn thing. But once they're out, they're coming to you.
That's something for everybody to look forward to.
That's for sure. He is the Stallion. I'm the Enforcer. And we are the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. And we're tapping out.